the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Oh, this is an episode we've been waiting for in the PowerCast with Gene and Chris. In a few seconds here, we're going to be talking to David Perkins, whom I'm told doesn't do radio shows. So we're really lucky to have him. So it's going to be Chris O'Brien and David Perkins through much of this episode. I do want to mention one thing before we go on, and that is on last week's episode, we featured Phyllis Galdi of Fate Magazine and Jerome Clark. And we learned after that episode was recorded that one of the longtime editors of Fate, Donald Michael Craig, had died of pancreatic cancer. Our sympathies go out to his friends and his family. I knew him slightly in the 80s. Really nice guy, really smart editor, and we're all sad to see that he's gone. Let's get on with our episode this week. Chris just recently finished this magnum opus called Stalking the Herd.
And with a lot of help, I might add.
I keep joking with Chris that maybe the sequel should be called After the Herd or The Herd's Revenge.
I heard it through the cow pie.
I think that's worse.
Okay. Oh. Well, I heard it from what grows out of the cow pie. How's that?
This is going to get gross, I'll tell you that right now. I'm seeing this happening. What's happening, though, is that with a book this big, the subject has become far more extensive than I think even Chris realized until he put everything together, all those years of research. And you, Chris, and you, David, have been working together for a number of years on these subjects. Chris, tell us how you met David Perkins and tell us something more about him.
Well, the quick thumbnail sketch has been heard several times over the years here on the show, but when I first got involved in San Luis Valley, innocently researching a little article for a local newspaper, the first thing I did was try to find who the principal characters were in the subject of the cattle mutilation phenomenon, which I knew a little bit about, but not much. You know, of course, Linda Howe's name came up early on, Burl Lewis, the surviving owner of Snippy the Horse. You know, Burl said, you got to talk to those Texas guys. And I said, who are they? And he said, Tom Adams and Gary Massey. They were combing, you know, the Midwest and Colorado and stuff during the 70s, investigating these cases. And so I called Tom, and Tom says, oh, my God, finally somebody showed up in the San Luis Valley that we can work with. You've got to meet David Perkins. And I said, who's he? And he says, well, we kind of fondly refer to him as Izzy Zane. And the question is very sane. The answer is very sane. And David was gone. He was in the South Pacific. I waited patiently for a couple of weeks for him to come back, and then we started having daily phone calls, and we instantly kind of hit it off. I think we were both of a similar temperament in terms of our objectivity about a lot of these things. So we had these monumental phone calls for David. I think it was at least 2 or 3 months before I actually met you. Mm-hmm. And David lived very close to me, 15, 20 miles away, but there was 14,000-foot mountains between us. So we never actually met until I was invited over with my band to play the Libre 25th anniversary party. And that's when I met Tom and Gary and David. And I think I stayed, 3 or 4 days and then went home, grabbed my brother, and we came back for another couple of days. We started off with a whirlwind. And ever since then, I don't think I've ever talked with somebody on the phone as much as I've talked with David over the last 20 years, and we've just been chipping away at this big granite block called the cattle mutilation mystery for decades now. And this is the first time I think David and I have ever actually done a radio show together, which is a little mind blowing to me. But David is kind of shy and retiring when it comes to doing radio, and I think we're very lucky to have him.
Chris, actually, I didn't want to come on the Paracast until I had the answer to the cattle mutilation mystery.
Oh, boy, I guess everybody's in for a scoop today.
Well, I'm a little short on that one. Still working on it like almost 40 years later. But I'm close, getting close, yeah.
Well, David, why don't you give everybody a bit of a background, kind of introduce yourself, give us a thumbnail sketch of how you were. You kissed the tar baby, as I like to refer to it, sort of, I don't know, in a fond, kind of twisted sort of way.
Yeah, it is sort of twisted. Let's say, as they say, long story short, I'd moved to Colorado in 1970 and built a house up on top of a mountain on a, what shall we say, artist colony. in those days it was called a commune, but we, it was a group of like-minded people wanting to get out of the cities. It was kind of chaotic back in the late 60s, early 70s, and we all met through various ways, different artists, painters, and writers, and musicians, and those types, and built our own houses on a piece of land in Colorado, southern Colorado, where we could do our art and do our thing in peace and quiet and beauty, which it sort of was. I had come out of the 70, you know, from 1970, that period, and I was very intrigued by investigative journalism. That was the era of Watergate. And I thought, boy, investigative journalism is a really powerful tool. And it's something that I was very interested in, journalism and music, of course. So I was sort of biding my time waiting for the something that was a challenging topic that I could take on as a piece of investigative journalism. And it was hard to miss. In 1975 in Colorado, it was all hell broke loose, basically, with the mutilations. It was just every newspaper, every headline. It was really hard to ignore. It was the Associated Press story of the year. And I was going, wow, this is interesting. What is this? And I thought it would fade away, and it didn't fade away. And then gradually I got sucked into the mutilations happening near my house, which I happened to see, and then I started talking to the local newspaper editor and the local sheriff, similar to what you did, Chris. And you just you know, start collecting files, and then next thing you know, you're in it over your head, is basically what happens.
Well, you actually were a prime suspect in the case that you found right at the gate of your community.
Well, we joke about our first encounters with, we call it the trickster, or touching the tar baby or whatever, but yeah, I went into there was a mutilation that had happened on the road about a mile south of our community, my house, and I saw it. I drove in, I saw it, and I stopped and looked at it and went, wow, this is one of those things. And I observed it, made some notes, went home. The next day I went back out, looked at it again, started really poking at it. It was just right off the road, really hard to miss. I noticed there was a little blood, actually. Well, there were three drops of blood on three stones heading in the direction of my house. And I thought, well, there's a little blood there. It's supposed to be bloodless, but here's just a little blood. So then I poked and poked and got to smelling really bad of dead cow, and then went into the newspaper office, a very small little office with the editor of the paper, reeking of cadaverine. And I said, well, what's have you got a file on these cattle mutilations? What's up with this? And we talked a while, and he said, well, I think I should tell you, David, that you're actually considered a prime suspect in that mutilation. I said, what? How could this be? You know, I said, well, moi? I was a bit stunned, but he said, well, the sheriff, you know, since you guys moved in up there on the mountain, that I think you should know that you were all suspects.
Oh, boy.
David, before we go on, did you feel at that point inclined to say, you know, maybe I should call a lawyer and see what's going on here?
No, not really. I was a bit stunned. I thought, well, obviously, you know, this is ridiculous and this won't last. But and once I got to know the sheriff, we became very good friends, and that quickly dissipated that suspicion. Although I think maybe in some people, you know, in these rural counties, they always are a bit suspicious of outsiders that come into a community who have maybe strange ways of doing things or look different or whatever. In those days, it was kind of paranoid. Everybody was wondering what was going on.
We got a lot more to cover. We have David Perkins joining Gene and Chris. We're talking about cattle mutilations in Chris's new book, Stalking the Herd. And a little bit later in this episode, we'll be asking your questions. Those are the questions that many of you posted in our forums at forum.theparacast.com. That's forum.theparacast.com. The place we put the questions, the question bank. More to come. You're in
The Paracast.
Neighbors, are you tired of dealing with a slow web hosting provider? Well, check out A2 Hosting and their screaming fast Swift server platform. They even have SSDs that load pages 300% faster than the competition. Ready to give your site a speed boost? Well, tell you what, neighbors, head on over to a2hosting.com. That's A2, that's number 2, a2hosting.com. Check out their Prime hosting account. And get this, neighbors, they're even giving you an exclusive 25% off discount for all our listeners. 25%. And remember, their Guru Crew support team is standing by 24/7, 365 days a year to answer any of your questions. Now, to get the discount, use the coupon code GENE when you check out.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Take delivery in spring. 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
There are many things the human body can do very well, but maintaining the proper pH level isn't always one of them. That's where AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops can make a world of difference. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps your body do what's natural. Just a few drops a day helps rid your body of harmful waste and acid while promoting health and restoring vibrance and energy. Alkalizing boosts your immune system and can help fight headaches, irritability, cramping, and insomnia. Alkalizing also helps the body fight depression and even bone loss. To learn more about the importance of alkalizing and how you can find life-changing and vital balance, please visit AlkaVision's brand new website at AlkaVision.com. Same great products, but now easier to use and more informative than ever before. To get your very own plasma pH drops for just $29.95, call 800-518-7615 or visit AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Alkalize your body and supercharge your health at the new AlkaVision.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Chris has perfected the ultimate voice for cattle mutilations. Is there a way to say the Paracast and moo like a cow?
The Paracast moo.
No, I don't think that's going to work. Okay, so, David, you were first a suspect, and, of course, the sheriff got to know you. And I'm glad of that. We wouldn't want to have to visit you in jail. But let me ask a question here that hits me right off the top. Has anyone, anywhere, ever been officially charged with a crime of this nature?
Well, Chris has one. What was the English case? The only
The George Adalji case, a Hindi clergyman right in the town, I guess, where Nick Redfern grew up, was charged, sentenced, and convicted of being a horse slasher. But in Charles Fort's book, I think wild talents, he was called a cattle mutilator. So we're going all the way back to 1902. Other than that, there have been none, Gene. And that makes this mystery even more compelling because you would think Murphy's Law would kick in. Somebody would mess up. Helicopter would crash, run out of gas. Somebody would break a leg. Something would happen that would expose one of these perpetrators, at least in one instance, enough to be actually apprehended or somehow compromised in their process. But it hasn't happened since the early 20th century.
So before we go on, is there a reason to think, though, that we have human actors involved here who are involved in cattle mutilations?
Human actors.
I'll let you take that one, David. Yeah, there's a lot of very compelling circumstantial evidence that would suggest that, but I think it's kind of getting a little bit the cart ahead of the horse here. You know, of course, this is, you know, the realm of popular conceptions about this whole mystery. And, of course, Linda Howe has been the chief kind of bird dog in all this for the last 20 years, pretty much. And, you know, she's fairly convinced that humans are not involved. So I think the prevailing view out there in the pop culture is that this is ETs coming down and doing it. That's why no one's ever been busted. Of course, the skeptics and debunkers would say there's nothing to this at all. This is all mundane scavenger action. This is a lot of people getting hysterical. The media is fanning the flames of this hysteria, and every dead cow out there is being seen as, by amateurs, as being mutilated. And, you know, these are not tenable. We have plenty of cases that would suggest that intelligence is being applied to these operations, these experiments possibly. And coyotes don't cut hair follicles in a straight line. It's just not part of a natural predation and scavenging scenario. So there does appear to be intelligence behind this, whether it's human intelligence, whether it's some sort of preternatural intelligence, whether it's ETs, whether it's any number of fantastic, you know, what-if scenarios is still open to quite a bit of debate. But David and I often agree and kind of joke when we, you know, come up with the assertion that it doesn't matter which theory you come up with and you know, you present the supportive data to you know, argue that particular theory, David and I can take the opposite view and totally negate that theory. So this is a very, very slippery slope of it doesn't matter what you come up with to try to explain this. There's more than enough data to refute that particular explanation, and round we go.
Let me ask you here, Chris, is there a starting point here? Like in the UFO field, we always say Kenneth Arnold's sighting, June 24th, 1947, was the progenitor of UFO cases. Of course, if you do your research, you find that's not quite true, that you've had sightings far back in the past. But is there a first case or first important case when it comes to cattle mutilations?
Well, yeah, the Typhoid Mary publicized case is the Snippy the Horse case, or Lady the Horse, as Linda likes to remind everybody, that happened the end of the first week of September 1967. But, again, really digging into this whole thing, we have cases and waves of livestock mutilations that go back to the earliest one I can find is 1606 in the Shires around London. There were cases in Australia in the 20s and around the turn of the century. We had cases, potential cases, in the early to mid-60s in Pennsylvania that John Keel and Ivan Sanderson individually and collectively looked into. But the Snippy the Horse case is widely considered, and rightfully so, as the first international news story about this kind of case. And that pretty much is ground zero. And, of course, the Snippy case occurred about 25, 30 miles from where I lived in Colorado for 13 years and just over the hill from where David lived in Libre. He arrived, I think your first trip out there was in 68, so it would have been the following year. But over the years, that pretty much is considered to be the first publicized case. What would you add on that, David?
I would add the Alexander Hamilton cow napping case of 1897.
Hey, yeah.
This sort of set the stage for aerial craft abducting cattle. Even though it's hotly debated whether that was even true or whether it was a hoax, nonetheless, we'll start talking in a while about memes. These are, ideas that are perpetuated through the culture. It's a cultural equivalent of a gene, basically, that it's what propels culture. It's passed from mind to mind. It's an image that takes hold and passes through the culture and directs the culture to some extent. So if you're talking about planting of memes, of the cattle mutilation meme, I would have to say that would be important. Even if it was a hoax, it was still a highly successful meme.
Yeah, and we did quite a bit of digging. You especially uncovered some new information about that particular case, and we very carefully sort of backtracked the stories at the time when this occurred and how this particular story was debunked by Jerome Clark in the 70s, where he came forward and said, oh, well, this was, a joke perpetrated by a member of a liar's club, and there's nothing to see here. Move along, folks. And David did many hours of research and digging into old newspaper archives and really combing through what was available online about this particular person, Alexander Hamilton. And David, you uncovered some interesting things that kind of refute what Jerry Clark had to say in terms of dismissing the case as a hoax.
And this is something, by the way, we'll get into more detail in our next segment. Isn't it funny, though, that on last week's episode of the Paracast, we did feature Jerome Clark. We did not focus, though, on cattle mutilations. Just want to let everyone know that, those who haven't heard last week's episode yet. We talk more about other stuff and very heavily about his connection with Fate magazine. In any case, this week, it's a super, super special episode about cattle mutilations in light of the publication of Stalking the Herd by Chris O'Brien. His friend, mentor, colleague, David Perkins, has joined us. A lot more to come with Gene and Chris. You're in.
We are the premier independent talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case. We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
For years, you've been hearing about Herbal Healer Academy and how it's remained the leader in effective, alternative, and natural medicine and education. But how can they continue to hold that title for years on end? The answer is high quality and huge selection. Just visit herbalhealer.com and shop online or request a free catalog. You're bound to find the alternative you're looking for. Did you know that Herbal Healer carries the latest, safest, and effective weight loss products? You can also count on Herbal Healer for the largest selection of safe and natural supplements just for children. And don't forget your pets. Herbal Healer even has natural mineral supplements for all your animals, including horses, cows, and birds. Take a peek at their online calendar, and you're sure to find everything you need and maybe something you didn't realize you needed. Visit HerbalHealer.com and don't forget to sign up for the free Herbal Healer newsletter. HerbalHealer.com, working with the power of nature.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
I knew he'd do that. So, David, how do you put up with that? Does he do that when you're working with him? Does he come up with stuff like that?
Yes, he does.
Constantly.
Constantly does. We amuse each other no end. We're going to take it on the road as a comedy, stand-up comedy team one of these days.
Yeah, we've been working on that for a while, haven't we?
So first we have to get you on the Tonight Show.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Then once you do that, you can go out there. Maybe do a two-step or something.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get back to a real discussion.
Well, yeah, let's continue talking about Alexander Hamilton and the infamous calf napping case. Basically, just as a thumbnail sketch for some of our first time listeners or people not aware of this particular case, in I think it was the Yates Center, Kansas newspaper, a story was published that claimed this pillar of the community, Alexander Hamilton, who David subsequently found out was the justice of the peace for the county, claimed that he and one of his ranch hands and I think his son in broad daylight witnessed what appeared to be one of these great airships overhead. And at first he noticed one of his calves was caught up in a fence and was bawling. And he ran out to see what was wrong and noticed that it was entangled in the fence because it was being, I guess, dragged off by this blimp-like object that was sailing overhead. And he tried to free the cow, and it became free from the fence and then sailed off, you know, after this, you know, being tied to a rope from this airship. And I think it was, the following day it was found 2 days later, eviscerated, but they were able to ID the calf because of the brand.
Yeah.
Did I get all that right? I think I did.
Yeah, I'm not sure it was eviscerated. I'm not sure. The thing about Hamilton I'm still a little puzzled by, and I'm used to doing genealogy work in old newspapers. I'm a member of all the newspaper archive sites and can go back, and I've done a lot of that stuff. And it's puzzling for somebody who was such a prominent person in that region that there's virtually nothing about him or his wife in the papers. And in those days, they publicized every little thing you did. If you went to lunch at, you know, Fred Murphy's house, boy, that was going to be in the newspaper. But there's just nothing there. The one thing I found was that I believe it was 2 days after the incident, Hamilton submitted his resignation as Justice of the Peace to the governor. This was just odd. It just seemed there are different ways you could probably read that. It's like he knew that he was going to, you know, take a beating for coming up with such an outlandish story, and felt maybe that his dignity as the justice of the peace might not work for him that way. So he quit. But why he quit, I don't know. That's it. But I just can't find anything else on him. Basically, some very strange. Another affidavit that he filed in another newspaper was quite odd about his political leanings and slavery and this, that, and the other. And Chris and I just scratch our heads about that one. And that's been left out of all the reports because it is just so baffling. But there's a lot there that is still not explained in my mind. And I think Chris is rightfully is keeping this case alive, and I still don't think it's entirely put away.
Well, Jerome Clark mentioned that Hamilton confessed that it was a hoax and that it was all part of a liar's club, trick on the public. And David actually was able to find the original article that Jerry Clark referred to, and in that article is the most ridiculous disclaimer by Hamilton saying, "Oh, it must have been an optical illusion. My eyes must have tricked me. It was a lightning bug flying over with a hair hanging down from it, and an ant was crawling up the hair, and that must have been the calf." I mean, to me, that's it just doesn't have any semblance of any sort of confession or mea culpa about perpetrating the hoax. In fact, to me, it indicates the opposite, that he was embarrassed and he was coming up with the most outlandish scenario to explain why he would come up with such a sensational claim as he did about his calf. And, of course, Jerry never mentioned that the calf was discovered some couple miles away. And I do believe it was missing parts, David, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
So there's no mention of an affidavit, really, in that article. He just does come up with this outlandish explanation. And I really have a sense that Jerry spun that as a way to disassociate any sort of UFO-type object with the mystery of cattle mutilations, which at the time of his article was a very big ongoing story in the 70s. And David and I have both kind of wondered why, over the years, we've been able to dig up some pretty interesting information about some of the main players in the field of ufology trying to place the blame for the mutilation waves that were occurring in the 70s on Satanists and occultists. And as the book kind of very patiently sort of lays out, there seems to be an indication of a concerted effort by certain members of the ufological community, most notably Alan Hynek, to totally disassociate and separate the meme of cattle mutilations from the UFO phenomenon. And the Jerry Clark assertion in the Fade article, I believe, is where he originally published it. There's something that doesn't ring true about that. And love to ask Jerry about that next time we talk to him. I'm sorry I wasn't able to last week. But, this is just emblematic of the types of approaches that I was trying to take, and with a great amount of effort and help on David's part, we really tried to identify when certain theories to attempt to explain the mutilations in the 70s, where they kind of were formulated, who were the players that were promoting particular disclaimers and alternative theories. And it's very, very fascinating to look at how certain explanations kind of took hold within the media or took hold within the law enforcement community, and how they kind of spun off in their own direction. And David and I have always, I think, agreed that the mutilations are horrific, and they're something that that deserve investigative and research attention. But what is even more fascinating is how these particular theories, sort of grow legs and have a life of their own and spin off into directions that are then sort of enmeshed into the popular culture. And David was very instrumental in spending hundreds of hours tracking down certain leads and really backtracking certain stories. You'll never hear from Linda Howe or some of the other investigators out there that are convinced this is ETs. You'll never hear that some of the waves of mutilations that began in the Midwest were started on top of waves of cattle rustling, for instance, and incredible numbers of well-documented mystery helicopter sightings. You'll never hear about cases of hooded figures carrying torches, trying to block traffic in one particular case. Or, as David found out, which was a big surprise to me, there even seems to be a hairy hominid precursor kind of scenario going on in several areas of the Midwest that we can talk about. David, what do you think? I mean, you did a tremendous amount of really detailed work researching some of these things that I've just mentioned. What is your thinking?
Before we get into that, we're going to break in a moment. And I want to listen to you folks talk about the various theories and why some of those theories just do not pass muster. Of course, it's true in a lot of these fields that once a theory gets out there and some people embrace it, facts no longer matter. Chris's book is called Stalking the Herd. There is a website called stalkingtheherd.com where you find out more about the book, and you can order an autographed copy. Chris will sign it. He'll sign as many as you people order. With Gene and Chris, more to come with David Perkins. You're in
the Paracast.
Largest independently owned communications network, GCN.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and floating phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO@WebTV.net. That's MrUFO@WebTV.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Hey everyone, have you heard about the no-no hair removal device that's sweeping the globe? If you want to go weeks without shaving and get smooth, professional, quality results, here's our favorite host, Cheryl, for no-no hair removal.
Thanks. Hey gals, I love talking about my no-no. It's this cute little hair removal system that you can take with you and use almost anywhere at home or on the road. No more expensive in-office treatments, painful waxing, and no more wasting your valuable time. Got unwanted facial hair? No-no has patented Thermacon technology that works on all hair and skin colors, so it's perfect for using on all body parts. And now you can take advantage of this incredible risk-free trial. Get the No-No, the facial kit, a travel case, and a $100 discount shopping card, and you don't risk a penny to try it. Try the incredible No-No hair completely risk-free. Call 1-800-953-6062. That's 800-953-6062. 800-953-6062.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Ouch! My back is out again!
Hi, Dr. Ortman with Wellspring Spinal Care. If you're experiencing neck, mid, or lower back pain, this information is for you. One of the complaints that I hear is patients receive their typical adjustment, only having to repeat them as the pain returns. Putting the bones back in place is only half of the battle. At Wellspring Spinal Care, we have the entire solution. We use the NUCA approach, utilizing three-dimensional x-rays and gentle touch technology to deliver specific correction. We then design a custom nutritional supplement program which provides essential nutrients targeting the areas of concern. With a NUCA approach and proper nutrition, you'll be on your way to a faster and more permanent recovery. To get you on the road to wellness, visit drortman.com. That's drortman.com. Or call us today, 952-303-9124. That's 952-303-9124. Wellspring Spinal Care. Chiropractic done right.
Hi, my name is Richard Dolan. You're listening to the Paracast.
So let's look at the theories and maybe do a little myth-busting here. As David Perkins joins Gene and Chris, the book is Stalking the Herd. So, David, you're the myth-buster, eh?
That's it.
Start busting some myths. Go ahead, please.
Well, oh, gee, where do you begin on this one? First of all, I'd like to emphasize to your listeners how important it is that they obtain Chris's book and read it all the way through and get up to speed and educate yourself. In fact, read all of Chris's books. I see some of your listeners, they say, well, I've read one of Chris's books. That was good. It's like, read them all. And read them back to back and then read them again. People need to get up to speed on this kind of stuff. And if you're interested in unsolved mysteries, this is probably the greatest one ever and with the biggest implications of any mystery that I can think of, no matter what the answer is. It's huge. What Chris does such a fine job of in this book is detailing where all of these theories came from, going all the way back. Well, say going back to Snippy in particular, which he does a fantastic job, better than any written account of that I've ever read, in terms of how the meme or the myth took off from Snippy, with the owner of the horse, Nellie Lewis, telling the Associated Press, a flying saucer killed my horse. Doesn't get any stronger than that for a tabloid headline or any kind of headline, but this is Associated Press. It went all over the world. It was an enormous beginning of the myth, which we are still in that myth, working in that myth right to this very day, years and years and years later. So then it took the permutations, I guess, started after in the early 70s when it became a little more to in public consciousness. People started saying, well, it sounds like cults to me. Or it must be the government, or those were the prominent theories of the day. I've said to Chris that to me, I'm working on this more from a social science point of view. That's my training, that's been my interest, and that's my skills, more than a hard science point of view. But to me, looking at the theories, it's like a Rorschach test of culture. Whatever you see Snippy the horse mutilated, and what comes to your mind is basically what you fear or what you invoke or want to see happen, whether it's a flying saucer scenario or whether you're afraid of cults or if you're afraid of the government or you're afraid of bigger powers out there that might squash you in some way or the other. It tends to mirror what your fears and expectations are. Right off the bat, you've got classifications of people that see, you know, it's like Greg Bishop was saying, you're going to find what you expect to find in his foreword there. And to some degree, that's true. However, I would differ with that a little bit in that when I started off in this, I fully expected to find the government behind it. And briefly, I thought, well, maybe it could be cults. But no, it doesn't. The evidence doesn't seem to support that in the scale that this is happening. So I didn't end up finding what I expected to find. I had no idea I was going to be sitting here years and years later
trying to sort out these various theories. Depending on where you would want to start, I mean, there's a certain amount of evidence for each of those major theories. And like Chris says, the evidence tends to negate itself. There's enough evidence behind each theory to give it some plausibility.
All right, let's look at E.T., because E.T. is one of the more popular theories, and very likely because of one of the main offenders, Lynn the Moulton Howe. So, what does E.T. have in its favor, although we haven't even proven that E.T. is here, although it's a common theory with regard to UFOs? What's in its favor? What is against it?
Well, what's in its favor, from my point of view, you sift all these things down in terms of what their plausibility quotient really is. And if you're going to say ETs are behind the cattle mutilations, to me it's about the same as saying God is behind the cattle mutilations. Because ET, if you're looking at an extraterrestrial civilization that is, interfering with Earth's activities, it could be a million years in advance of what our civilization is. Any amount that it would, would put them ahead of us would make anything they do possible. Anything they could possibly do is plausible because they're so far advanced. They can make us think what they want us to think, see what they want us to see, manipulate us mercilessly. So, once you arrive at that particular theory, then, all bets are off. They can do anything. So that kind of leaves you in a cul-de-sac.
But if E.T. is responsible, wouldn't there be more evidence of a higher grade of technology?
That's a good point. And with a lot of these paranormal phenomena, it seems like the technology, that so-called technology that we're witnessing, is just slightly ahead of where we are as humans. And the airship wave is an example of that. That was 1896, 1897, just as we were on the verge of flight, the Wright brothers. It was just barely ahead of where we were, what we were seeing in the skies at that time. Same for modern-day flying saucers. It seems like it's just slightly ahead. I mean, more than 5 years, obviously. I've always seen it as the phenomena tends to mold itself into something that's just where we're going. It's pulling us toward that position, and it's bringing all that to public consciousness and creating expectation and excitement and forward motion. So it's something that kind of pulls us along.
So you're implying here it's a cultural phenomenon, but it has to have something more than just a conventional explanation, because if it's always one step beyond, then obviously there has to be something more involved than basically cultists or pranksters or something like that.
Yes, there's a lot more involved. I cannot stress how complex this issue is. It is just enormously complex. I mean, I know because I worked on it for almost 40 years in a very sustained way, and Chris has worked on it many, many years. Sort of what, like, the more you know, the more you don't know. And it's not an easy thing to even define what the issue is. And that's why I rarely do radio, because my type of theorizing, speculation, and provisional theories don't lend themselves that well to sound bites and short snippets. It's very, very complex.
Yeah, nuanced.
Extremely nuanced. And
well, to give an example for Gene here, people, back in the, let's say, 72 through 74 period, when the cattle mutilation meme really hadn't captured the imagination of the public like it did from 75 through 79. For instance, in Iowa, as I mentioned earlier, there was a rash of cattle rustling cases that were associated with mystery helicopters. Now, Linda Howe would say, well, those were UFOs masking themselves as helicopters. Yet we have a number of really sensational accounts, well documented, of actual gun battles between people aboard helicopters and ranchers trying to protect their herd. And in one case, there was even somebody on the ground firing at the rancher. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I've yet to encounter any sort of really slam dunk case of a UFO encounter where the occupants of the UFO were firing small lead projectiles at the at the witness. So, like David said, and like I said earlier, for every theory you come up with, there's plenty of evidence to suggest that there's something else much more complicated going on in this scenario. And it's, I think Linda coined the term, it's like a hall of mirrors with a quicksand floor. It doesn't matter which direction you go in, you're gonna hit stumbling blocks along the way that negate a particular theory. And I think it's really important that investigators and researchers are open-minded enough and objective enough to entertain all the data and not be selective, not cherry-pick the cases that tend to conform to your preconceived ideas or possible solutions to the scenario. And it's just, you go round and round with this. And David, early on in 78-79, came up with the observation that many of these areas of high incidence, in fact, a vast majority of them, appeared to be downwind and downstream of where we mine uranium, have nuclear power plants, weaponize nuclear materials, have them in missile silos. I mean, the missile fields around southern Montana and northern Colorado. And so we really have to be intellectually honest about observing these things.
We have David Perkins joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
A little right, a little left, but always independent-minded. The Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
If you own a business, you need customers, right? Well, your potential customers are listening to this radio program right now, and I can help you reach them. Hi, I'm Matt Brower, a national marketing executive at the radio network responsible for this program. I can help you customize a national radio campaign that fits your budget, large or small, while targeting your specific audience. Contact me to learn how radio advertising can make your business more profitable. MBROWER at GCNLive.com. That's MBROWER at GCNLive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
It's hard to imagine when things are going reasonably well just how quickly things can change. But what would it take? Economic collapse? Massive crop failure? Chemical or biological attack? So many situations could find you in the grocery looking to pick up food for your family only to find that the shelves are empty. There's nothing. Don't let that happen. Act today to make sure that if it ever comes to that, you and your family will be provided for. Visit freezedryguy.com to look at the wide variety of survival foods available. Freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy store longer, rehydrate faster, are nutritionally superior to, and taste better than any other long-term storage food available. Visit freezedryguy.com or call toll-free 866-404-3663. FreezeDryGuy.com.